All right, thanks for reading that, brother. Proverbs 8, let's kind of go through this. It's interesting how it's like wisdom talking to us, right? Because it's talking about all the things that he was, and he was with God before. And it starts out, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice." I never thought about that. Wisdom and understanding having forth like a voice. That's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
Voice. Someone look up that word. A sound.
And it may not just be like speaking kind of a voice. It may just be like you look at a tree and there's wisdom
right
in the in how it's designed and how it's made, and that's
right.
The voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I love that. Wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places by the way in the places of the paths. Yeah, you talked about the paths the other day. What were you talking about? Remember?
Paths.
How it doesn't say one path. It says different paths. Remember we were talking about that? That doesn't mean there's more than one path to salvation.
Oh, no.
But it's like a lot of people take different paths, different testimonies to get to Christ. That's kind of what we were talking about.
Yeah, the different paths. And it also could be the refining of certain paths, like whether it be knowledge or perhaps discernment, or like, because those things each need their own development, their own, I guess, path. I mean, you're taking to like learn those things.
Yep,
so
yep,
it could mean a lot of things.
Yeah, some people say I'm on my journey, but it's like different experiences, different testimonies, different things you've come through. Everybody does come through a different walk of life. Some people come from a higher class, a lower class, a middle class. Some people come from much sin, little sin. But everyone has to come through that one narrow gate, and there's different paths to get to the narrow gate.
Yeah.
Right.
And I like how it says, "She standeth in the top of high places." That made me think of Matthew 10:27. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops."
Yeah. Right. High places, yeah, seated with God. "She cries at the gates and at the entrance of the city, at the coming in at the doors." I like how it says, "crieth." It's like, I believe all of this, obviously, is by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord beckons us to wisdom, beckons us. And I don't know, as I listened to you read this whole thing, it's kind of like wisdom isn't just something that like you expect God just give you and I magically get it, mystically get it. Wisdom is something you have to seek. Wisdom is something that you have to desire. Wisdom is something that you have to pursue. It's like you have to go after it. And I think a lot of people just think, oh, I'll just sit back and God does it over time. It's like, now, it's like everything else in the faith life. I think you have to be diligent to come after it. Right?
Oh, yeah. I don't see God just saying, well, you haven't asked for it, but I'll just give it to you anyway.
No.
No, you have to seek it.
Yeah, yeah. He's a reward of them that diligently seek him, right?
Yep.
She cries at the city gates, at the gates. Why is that important? Because the gates are where, like, all the information flew. News, like you said, the king would send a crier and he'd stand at the city gate. Hey, there's a crier at the gate. He's saying something. What's he saying? Everybody go and listen. So it's where the place of wisdom would enter, through the gates of the city. Kind of how we have to enter through eternal life, the gates of the city, right?
Yep.
"Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." Yeah, God's calling out to people to turn, right? To seek wisdom. What's the opposite of wisdom?
Foolishness.
Yeah, foolishness, right? Yeah, and the Bible talks about the fool who says in his heart there's no God, which is the ultimate foolishness. And then, yeah, we just read for our daily audio in Proverbs, it says, "The fool speak of what he doesn't know," or speaks before he knows a matter, and it's his folly. It's a folly to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this verse because it's like, to the sons of men. And I know in Job 39:13, it talks about like the peacocks and the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear because God hath deprived her of wisdom. Neither hath he imparted to her understanding. So wisdom is crying to the sons of men who have the wisdom.
Right.
They can understand.
Things. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from some it's going to be withheld, isn't it?
Yep.
We know that for sure. O ye simple. understand wisdom, and ye fools, ye be of an understanding heart. What does that word simple mean? Silly. Simple means silly. So that should give people great confidence. Why? Oh, you silly people, understand wisdom. Hey, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Guess what that means to me? You got a chance. You can still come to it.
Yeah.
God will give it to you. He's a good father. Even if you're a fool and you say, I've been a fool, I need to turn and get some wisdom. The Father will give it to you, right?
Yeah.
That's what I seek from that. He's a good father. It reminds me of in the Gospels where he says, you were reading it the other day, if a son asks for a loaf of bread, he doesn't give him a snake or a scorpion.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to give good gifts to people that are seeking it, right?
Yeah, and I like how it says understand wisdom, not just get wisdom. You have to understand.
Understand. Yeah. What is that? What is that word? Understand. It means to discern, to consider, to perceive. Yeah. To observe, to give heed to. There's an interesting way to say it. To give heed to. So when someone brings you some correction, if you discern it rightly, and if it's right information, you'd give heed to it.
I wonder, yeah, because the Lord said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. There are some people that can't discern real wisdom.
Yeah.
It's like they can't understand what wisdom is. They have like an idea of wisdom, but it's not like they know what it is.
And there may be things blocking it. Usually it's the flesh.
Yep.
Could be the flesh. Be of an understanding heart. Interesting. So you can be of an understanding heart. So then the opposite would be a person that has a non-understanding or doesn't understand. That's kind of interesting. So it's kind of like God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. You're in one or the other. You either have an understanding heart or not. That's kind of an interesting contrast, the way to look at it. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Well, that's wisdom, right? So if we got wisdom, what are we going to do? We're going to speak excellent things. Doesn't that talk about, what's the verse where Paul talks about? Let me find it. Paul talks about, but avoid, 2 Timothy 2:23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. You know, all the stuff that people try to argue about.
Right.
We're supposed to avoid that, right?
Yeah, amen. Whatever is good, pure, true.
Yep.
And I looked at that word, excellent things, and it says honorable themes.
Honorable what?
Honorable themes.
Yeah.
So like, that's interesting. It's like a... Okay, so it's an interesting definition of thing, like leader, ruler, captain. That's So it's like the speak of those things that are honorable, I guess.
Yeah.
The kind of idea.
Amen. Yeah. Now, like how it says in 6, my lips shall be right. My lips shall be right things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. That reminds me of James, where it talks about the power of the tongue. What are we going to speak, right?
Yep.
In his life and death. And then 7. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination unto my lips. That makes me think of John 16, where Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak all truth.
Yeah.
So, right? That's wisdom. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has the key to wisdom for us. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Mm-hmm. Well, that goes right along with, what is it? Proverbs 5, not far back. Her feet go down to death. I'm sorry, Psalm 5. I want Psalm 5.
Yeah.
Psalm 5:5, not Proverbs. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And then Proverbs 6 tells us, of course, what's an abomination to God, and lists a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, the psalmist says, I hate every evil in another place.
And yeah, so that goes to stand, we should hate what God hates and love what God loves, right?
Speak truth, and the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah.
So we see the difference, light and dark there. Truth and lying or wickedness.
Yeah.
And 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Talk about that word froward. What do you think that is talking about?
That's interesting, that definition, torturous. Like, froward is basically like you struggle, that's like you're twisting, it's disobedience to the truth, and it's a froward mouth. You're speaking against the truth.
Yeah. Basically. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And then there's that word perverse. That's coming up a lot lately. I've been preaching it in the street. Matthew 17:17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So, perverse. We talked about it. Our corrupt sexual culture thinks a pervert has something to do with sex, and it does in this corrupt culture. But perverse means to corrupt something. So we were talking about how churchianity is perverse, and they're basically spiritual perverts because they corrupt the Word of God, and they twist it. And so it talks about here being perverse. There's nothing forward or perverse in them, so we don't want to have that within us. If we have wisdom, why would we, right?
Right.
9, and they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So
that word plain, straightforward.
Yeah.
I like that.
That reminds me of 2 Timothy 2. Orthomeo or whatever that word is, ortho. Cut it straight. Rightly divide the word of God.
Notice it's straightforward, not backwards.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. What's that definition of that word knowledge? It means perception, skill, or discernment, understanding, wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge aren't far apart, are they?
No. Nope.
No. And where are we at? 10. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. That reminds me of Peter when the guy's was begging, and Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I'll give to you, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and kind of reminds me of like Judas as well, receiving the silver in exchange for the Lord. That wasn't wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave over the Lord. And
traded his soul for some pieces of silver that he eventually, what? Correct me if I'm wrong. He threw it down to the ground, didn't he?
Yeah, he threw it back.
He threw it back to them and said, I don't want it. They said, we don't want it. It's blood money. He threw it back at them. And then they did go and buy, right?
The field.
They went and bought Potter's Field. Yeah. It was called the Field of Blood or something like that. And they bought it as a graveyard for people like him.
Yep.
For wisdom is better than rubies. That reminds me of the Proverbs 31 woman. More precious than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So you look at all the things in the world. Obviously, it's talking about the world. Not to be compared to wisdom. Isn't that what Solomon sought more than anything? The guy was living on mountains of gold and had everything, and he really wanted wisdom more than anything.
Right.
That should be our desire.
Yeah. That should be the desire of everyone.
Yeah. Everyone in Christ, yeah. That also reminds me of where Jesus talks about, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his soul? So take that and break it down. Hey, you gain the whole world. You got piles of rubies and gold and silver and all that stuff, but you don't have enough wisdom to save your soul. Kind of like an Elon Musk.
Right. It's that parable of the guy that stored up a bunch of fruits in his barn. Where am I going to put all my fruits?
Yeah.
My soul, I'll be merry, I'll drink, and then the Lord says, thou fool.
Yeah.
Because your soul's required.
So amen. Amen. Verse 12, brother, read that for us.
Thy wisdom dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions.
I know you like that word prudence. What does that mean?
Yeah, prudence, discretion, subtlety, in a good sense, discretion. I like how it says dwell as like, it basically makes your abode when you're...
Yeah, we're van dwellers, so I think of, like, we dwell in our vans.
Right.
We're in our vans, right?
Yeah. If you're living with discretion, which means you're careful about what you're doing, wisdom will abide with you because you're making choices. You're almost like walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, as it says in the New Testament.
Amen.
But... yeah, I do like how it dwells because the Lord said, he'll come and make his abode with us. If his words are in us, if we love him, he'll, you know, manifest himself
Amen.
Through his word. to
all us. Predicated on our will.
Oh yeah.
And our will is desiring here, obviously, is teaching us to desire wisdom.
Yeah.
And then what about that witty inventions?
That's interesting. Witty. I want to...
Wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like almost like the word mischief. Yeah, it is. It got mischief in it. Usual evil, mischief, wickedly. Hmm. And then it says purpose, discretion, device, plot. So I guess it can go both ways.
And find out knowledge. And
basically, you know how I read that? It depends, because that word inventions can go both ways. It's
yeah.
got usually evil, sometimes good, so it can go either way. So to me, that means just discernment about something. So ready? You walk up to something and you go, hey, what is that? Is that good or is that evil? Am I discerning that right?
Yeah, it's like knowledge of witty inventions. Someone comes up with something,
yeah.
and you and your wisdom and your prudence, yeah. you say... Is this good? Is this
yeah.
bad?
Somebody walks up and says, yeah, I'm part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you go, Seventh-day Adventist Church. What do I know about that? Is this a witty invention here? Is this good? Is this of the Father? Or is this of man? You go, no, this is not of the Father. So, yeah,
no.
Witty inventions. Yeah, interesting. 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Well, obviously, Proverbs talks about the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Or fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I should say.
Yeah.
And to hate evil. And look at that. Pride and arrogance are thrown in with evil. We talk about it all the time. What sin is not connected to pride?
I think they all are.
Yeah, because I'm sinning means I'm going outside of God's law, which means I think I know better, which makes me prideful, because I know better than God's law, so I'm just going to go outside his law and do my own thing. That's pride.
That's pride, yeah.
It's like you speeding with your car, breaking the law, going, I'm going to do my own law. You're prideful above the law. Right?
Yeah, notice it hate, like wisdom hates
yep.
anything outside of the Lord's ways.
Yeah.
It's like pride, arrogancy, the evil way, which is anything outside of the Lord's way, the froward mouth, the perverse mouth, the disobedient mouth. It's like all of those things I hate. And that's
yeah.
that's the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, and it talks about in the New Testament, is it 1 Thess 5, avoid all appearance of evil, and it also talks about exposing it and not being part of it, and that's what this is talking about here.
Right.
What's the fruit of being born of God as you now hate sin,
yeah.
including your own? And you strive away from it. You don't settle for it or with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How about 14?
Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength.
I like that. I am understanding and I have strength. Counsel is mine. Counsel. Prudence. Advice. Purpose. Yeah, like when you tell somebody, hey, I'll give you this counsel, I'll give you this advice. So it's good to have wisdom and get good advice and counsel from somebody that has wisdom.
Yeah.
Who are you going to get it from? The fool? No, you don't want to get it from the fool.
I like how it says, I have strength. It's like, counsel and advice is like its own sort, it's like its own strength, because someone went through something before you, they know how to approach it, or... they know a good way for you to take, and that's strength, because it keeps you strong. It doesn't lead you in the wrong path.
Amen.
It's really, yeah, that's awesome.
Amen. And then 15, I think this is interesting. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. So it's like wisdom is used by the kings and the princes and how they carry out justice. It's just kind of neat. It's like wisdom. Okay, I think of that. Wisdom's like a tool. It's like a tool. And a tool can be used many ways for good, or it can be, ready? It can be set in a drawer or in a shelf or in a tool shed and never used. Hey, you got a rake? Yeah, I never use it. You know, get a vacuum cleaner, never use it. And so wisdom is something's like a tool. It's got to be used. And kings reign and princes decree justice. And then at 16 keeps going. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all judges of the earth. What does that one mean? All judges of the earth.
I mean, everyone that makes sound judgment uses wisdom.
Yeah. 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 Can you imagine going before a court of law and a good judge is going to decide your fate and he doesn't use any wisdom? He just decides to do whatever he wants. It's like, whoa, who wants that kind of standard? That's why the best system of governance is going to come when Christ returns, because it's going to be a one righteous ruler and his people that rule with him. So a corrupt king runs a corrupt kingdom, but a righteous, wisdom-filled king is going to run a just kingdom. So we look forward to that. At 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That word, what do you think that word early mean? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I love them that love me.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because it's almost like draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you love God, if you love his word, if you love sound wisdom, you're seeking after him, he'll draw close to you. I love them that love me.
Amen. Amen. And when that early, it makes me think of, I'm going to it, like it talks about, the psalmist talks about this quite a bit, like Psalm 55:17. Even evening and morning and at noon I will pray and I will cry aloud, and he shall hear my cry, or hear my voice. It talks about seeking God a lot in the morning in the Psalms. And it's a good way to start your day. If you don't start your day thinking about the Lord and start your day set on the kingdom, there's a good chance you're going to go astray. And I would say if you don't start your day with the Lord, I would say you're not using wisdom.
Yeah, that's an interesting connection to seeking for early, or like early looking for something, because that means you're diligently seeking it. You get up early and you're like, seeking this.
Yeah.
And that's,
I often street preach that. Did you wake up today and were some of your first thoughts, maybe your first thought, about the Lord, what he's blessed you with this day? I want to serve you. I want to obey you. Is that your first thought? Or is your first thought, what's on TV?
Yep.
Or how am I going to feed my flesh today? That's not a good sign that you're seeking. First thing. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Okay, that word durable, when you read it, I wanted to see what that word means. Yeah, that's what I thought. Valued. So that's like in the market, you hear people talk about the durable goods trades. It's things that last. It's not like disposable garbage stuff that throws away. It's durable goods that last.
I like that handed forward, like an antique almost kind of a thing. So you're like passing it along, like...
Yeah.
Durable riches and righteousness. It's like since the dawn of time, handed along wisdom, wisdom, fearing the Lord. Yeah.
And then we also talk about this, or I do. I've heard you say it too. We talk about that which is corruptible versus what's incorruptible.
Yeah.
And that's what this is, durable riches and righteousness. It's not talking about money riches, it's talking about that which is eternal riches.
Yep.
Jesus said, store up in heaven where moth and thief cannot steal. All right. How about 19?
My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver.
Yeah, here we get another gold and silver. We get another comparison. Isn't it interesting? All this is written all this time ago. Thousands of years. Gold and silver. What's the standard today for everybody? Same thing. Gold and silver. It's kind of interesting how nothing new under the sun, huh?
No.
Yeah, people still talk about gold and silver is all that's really worth anything. Your paper dollars aren't worth anything.
I like how it says my fruit.
Yeah.
It's talked about all over. Christ uses examples of fruit and the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's like that fruit is better than gold.
Yeah.
Fine gold.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and you know what I love about that? It is it makes me think of Matthew 7 where Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. And I look at that to test myself in my house and go, what's my fruit look like? Before I look at anybody else's fruit, I'm going to be testing my fruit.
Yeah.
And I love that. My fruit is better than gold. Fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. What does that word revenue mean?
That also kind of means fruit, like produce.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Increase.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's interesting. Revenue. It's like what you produce. Yeah. Income, revenue. Okay, yeah. I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness. I like that. In the midst of the paths of judgment. There's those paths again. Multiple paths. Not for salvation. There's only one path for salvation, but there's many paths to judgment, isn't there?
Yeah.
And many paths for people's different testimonies and all that.
I'm looking at that word lead and midst. So I lead to walk, a primitive root of to walk, in the way of righteousness, in the midst, that word midst, the middle of the paths of judgment.
Yeah.
I think about that cutting straight again. Like,
yep.
You cut the word of God straight. You're walking in the middle,
right,
of the path.
Yeah, if you're on the narrow road and you don't want to go into a ditch, get in the middle of the road.
Right.
Don't be dabbling on the edges, right? Get in the middle of the narrow road.
Yep.
And at paths of judgment. Wisdom, it takes wisdom to have judgment. Right judgment. And the Bible tells us to judge. How often do we hear that, brother? Don't judge. You shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge. The Bible talks about judgment all over the place.
Yeah.
Judging ourselves, judging the body, warning people of God's judgment that's coming.
It's all judgment.
Well, I want to look and see, what does that word judgment actually mean? A verdict. Yep. Judgment, ordinance, act, deciding a case, a sentence. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And those paths of judgment could be like everyday life. You're making judgments about what, like, finding out, like it said before, the witty inventions, like you're testing things, you're always proving everything.
Yeah.
The paths of judgment, you're judging everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, what path are you on?
Right.
What path are you on? 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. That's an interesting phrase, inherent substance. So we know we're going to inherit eternal life if we endure.
Right.
Substance. Yeah. Just what it means. Being in existence, there is substance. Inherit substance. That means you got something. Your life has substance. Or is your life empty and shallow and full of nothing? You've got eternal life and the riches of eternity in Christ. You've got substance behind it. You hear people talk about, in the world, people talk about it all the time. The other person doesn't have any substance to them.
Mm.
I know we used to talk about that a lot when I was a worldly man. It's like, no, they got no substance behind them because there wasn't nothing to them. They might be a simpleton or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But those that love me to inherit substance, I will fill their treasures. Wisdom fills your treasure.
That treasure is like a storehouse, and I know the Lord is preparing a place for us, and he said, store up treasures in heaven.
Yep.
So you're filling your treasures for eternity to come.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. You think that's talking about Genesis? I think so, if we keep reading.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's talking about Genesis, where the Spirit moved over the earth, right?
Yeah, before his works of old. So even
before
the Lord spoke it, he had wisdom to create it.
Wait, before everything was created, there was God? You mean he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, right?
Yep.
Before his works of old. I like that. Works of old. We live in such a weird society now where everything's new. Everything's all new technology. They're going to Mars, new computers, new this, AI, all this stuff. And the Bible takes us back to the works of old, which are the greatest. Going back, what God did at creation, at his spoken word, is the greatest. And man's doing all this new stuff that everybody's focused on that they think is the best. It reminds me of the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
That God's going to do away with once again in the future. He's going to stop man from doing whatever he can imagine to do.
Right.
How about 23?
I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well keep going. 24.
When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water.
Yeah. Wisdom. Wisdom is older than creation. It's kind of it's pretty much a no-brainer, but it's kind of something to ponder about.
Yeah, and I think it's really awesome. The sons of man get to perceive wisdom and understanding. This thing that's been here since before creation, we get to have wisdom.
Amen.
I guess that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Amen. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills were brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depths. Yeah. I got to ponder that some more. Wisdom. So we're seeking wisdom. We're seeking something that's older than the earth and creation, something that was there with the Father way in the beginning. That's like, man, that's some depth right there.
Yeah.
You talk about some riches and treasure. That's, you don't even ponder that. I guess that's why we study the Word. It takes you and makes you ponder all this stuff really depth. Before the, when a compass was set upon the depths, way at the beginning.
Right.
It reminds me of that verse where it says, I am God and there's no one with me. It's like he was from the beginning and always was, always will be, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then how about 28?
When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, and I'll keep going,
yeah.
When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, so wisdom. So science goes and does all this figuring out with math and everything about how the earth rotates and this and that. And so you look and see the wisdom that God used and created everything.
Yeah.
And that wisdom was there before it all came together. Now I'm sitting there looking at creation here, and it's like, wow, look at the amazing design, the wisdom, the intelligence, the detail, the order. And that wisdom was all there before any of this even happened.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how precious it is. I guess that's why we need it so much.
Yeah.
If we're his creation. Yeah, think about that. That just hit me. If God had wisdom, and it was there with him before creation, and he created everything with great intelligence and wisdom, and then man is made in his image, how much more do we need wisdom? It's like we're getting it what God had.
Conform to the image of
his
son.
Yeah. That's
that
pretty
wisdom.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother. What verse are we on?
Verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him.
Yeah. Yeah, wisdom has a high place and a high standing.
I like that idea of wisdom always rejoicing before him.
Yeah.
It's like, because he made everything for his pleasure.
Yep.
And wisdom is like just another level of like, he made it for his glory, like wisdom, just
yeah.
Himself. I think that's cool. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, verse 31, and my delights were with the sons.
There it is again. There it is again, right? That was up earlier, too.
Yeah. What's that word, delights? Enjoyment.
Yeah.
Object of delight.
So, yeah. I have a question. What do you think? This is talking about wisdom, but doesn't this also kind of give you like, this is the Holy Spirit as well, like almost like a mirror of the Holy Spirit too. It's obviously the Holy Spirit is the one who it gives us wisdom, teaches.
Yeah.
So this is like, I know the word he's focused on here is wisdom, but
yeah.
This is just the Holy Spirit I believe, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Holy Spirit was upon the face of the waters.
Yeah,
because
he's like
everything.
Not like, he is a person, and this is like talking about a person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The character and nature of him. Yeah. Yeah, because it says, when I was by him. Rejoicing in the habitation part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken to me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it just ties the two together, the Father, the Spirit, the Son, right? Yeah. Keep my ways. You mean we have something to do, brother?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't do it all for us. We don't have to do anything. We have something to do.
You have a responsibility to keep. I know in the scriptures it talks about a strong man retains riches.
Yeah.
It's like you have a responsibility to retain the riches of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? God creates the earth. It is good. He creates man. He tells man, take dominion, be a gardener, take care of it for me. God has wisdom long before the creation. God creates man. God says, I'll give wisdom. Take care of that. I'll give you the truth. Take care of that. Buy it, sell it not, it says in Proverbs 23:23. And then God gives his law, and he says, I give it to you. Now keep it. Obey it. Walk in it. Hey, man, I'll give you a wife. She's your helper. Now take care of her. It's like God gives us this, and then he says, take care of it. It's our part of the covenant, all these different covenants that came along. We all have to do that. It's all part of the covenant. He expects us to, and that just hit me. What about all the parables of Jesus talking about the steward? The guy says, I'm going to go take care of this for me while I'm gone. It's like God says, I'll give you this, the law, the earth, a wife, truth, wisdom. Take care of it all.
Yeah,
don't squander it.
How important it is to, how great of a responsibility we have, because a creator of all of this wisdom and all of this truth
gives it to us.
Gives us the responsibility. Yeah, you keep that.
Yeah.
You hold on to that.
Yeah. It's like your father built a big company and he says, I got to go away. Take care of it, son. Run it for me while I'm gone.
Yeah.
If you honor and you love him, you're going to do everything you can to do that. If he comes back and you go, no, I didn't do anything, it all fell apart, he's going to go, what did you do? That's what God calls us to. Yeah. And he gives us all the tools to do it.
Right.
Praise God. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Ooh, there's a big one. We know people that refuse instruction. I could be like that in my past and could be like that again if I'm not careful. Refusing instruction. Wisdom lets us know what we should refuse and what we should receive, right?
Yep.
A modern pastor comes up to you, and he's from the First Baptist Church, worldly, carnal First Baptist Church. You know you can refuse his counsel. Maybe someone godly gives you counsel. You want to test it to God's word and go, maybe I should listen to that. Right. Maybe I should heed that.
Yeah.
Refuse it not.
Refuse it not.
Yeah.
It means, like, don't dismiss it. Don't, like, set it at naught. Basically, don't ignore it, but hear it.
Yeah.
And keep it.
Yeah. And why is it so valuable? We just talked about it. God had it in beginning. He gives it to us via the Holy Spirit, his wisdom. He says, don't refuse it. It's like refusing wisdom is like refusing a gift from your father that you need and should have.
That's kind of hit me a little bit because, like, the father, through the body, through people, if we're all in, like, the same spirit and whatnot, they give each other wisdom.
Yeah.
The father works through his spirit to give someone wisdom, and he's like, take care of this.
Right.
Nurture it.
Yep.
And if you say,
I
don't want to do that.
You're refusing.
The wisdom has been with God from the foundation of the world, and you're saying, no, I think I'm okay.
It reminds me of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Go out and invite him in. I got ox to train. I got land to go look at or whatever. I can't go.
Yeah.
I can't go.
That's quite a statement.
Yeah, amen. And the last verses, brother, last three.
Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors.
I love that. Waiting at the posts of my doors and watching daily at my gates. The gate was the news place. The gate was where all information came. That's where we should be waiting and looking, and that would be for us the Spirit and the Word. Blessed is the man that heareth me. We're studying through the book of Revelation, and Revelation talked about blessed is the person that reads and understands this prophecy. So that kind of reminds me that hearing his word is a blessing, understanding it is a blessing.
Right.
And 35?
For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, find the Spirit, find wisdom, find truth.
Seek and ye shall find.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Yeah, and blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the last verse.
But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death.
Wow. All they that hate me love death. Yeah, it kind of makes me think about when this weekend we were witnessing and that guy walked by me and he said, when hell opens, I'm the first guy in and I'm going to love it. And he was a big, big mocker. Yeah, all them that hate me love death. We live in a culture that loves death, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you think about all of the vanity, the corruption, just the world is so obsessed with that which is fading, turning back to dust. Everyone loves death.
Yeah.
And only those that are quickened by the Spirit of God that say, I want to forsake all that and seek the kingdom of God, get life by the Spirit of God.
Don't you have a study you're going to do called? What's it called?
It's
What are you going to do? You just talked about today.
Death.
Loving death you're going to do.
That's interesting.
That'll be a good one. Yeah, that's something. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. So when it's like spiritual suicide.
Yeah.
Sinning against God willfully is like spiritual suicide. You're just basically cutting yourself off from the only one that can save you. And all that hate me love death. Why? He's life. You hate God, you must love death. Light, dark, righteousness, sin. It's one or the other. There is no middle ground.
Right. That word wrongeth, it means to be violent. By implication, maltreat. So, again, the Lord gives us responsibility with wisdom, with truth. Also, our own souls.
Yeah.
Are we going to be violent and maltreat our own souls by sinning against wisdom?
Yeah. Yeah, we might as well just go drink poison.
Yeah.
Same thing with our body. I just disregard your body and drink poison or run out in front of traffic. That's what you're doing with your soul when you sinneth against
wisdom.
Wrongeth his own soul. And that one's kind of sticking with me. All that hate me loveth death. Yeah. I guess I'll leave it right here. I'm thinking of our Lord. Everybody that hated him in the end, what did they say? Crucify him.
They love death.
They love death. Wow. All right. We'll leave it right there. Good job, brother. That was awesome.